One of the most important journeys any person can take is discovering who we are in the eyes of God. Last week we examined Gideon's quest, and he was struggling. He was struggling to see who he really was through the eyes of God. God viewed Gideon as a mighty warrior. He viewed Gideon as a man of strength. He saw in Gideon somebody who could rescue his nation. But Gideon didn't see any of this. God looked at Gideon and saw strength. Gideon looked at himself. He looked in the mirror and all he saw was weakness. "My family is the weakest," he said, "and I am the weakest in my family." It was as if Gideon held an arm wrestling contest at the family reunion and he came in last. That's how he viewed himself. "My family is the lowest, my family is the weakest, and I'm the youngest in my family." Gideon was basically trying to excuse himself. Instead of looking at God and the mission that was in front of him, Gideon was coming up with excuses. "This is why I can't do that. This is why I can't serve. This is why I can't lead." How can we learn to see ourselves through the eyes of God? The first part of John 13 could be helpful for us. Jesus, he knew who he was in the eyes of God. And in John 13, the apostle gives us insight into what Jesus was thinking leading up to the cross. He knew that he came from God. He knew that God sent him here for a purpose. And he knew that he was going home. And you look at Jesus versus Gideon. Jesus, he was faced with the most daunting task any human has ever faced. Now, God needed Gideon to do something big. Anytime you're talking about rescuing a nation, it's pretty big. But what Jesus did was even bigger. He rescued the entire world. Jesus, he completed the task because he knew where he came from. He knew he was here for a mission, and he knew that he was going to go back home. You know, basically, Jesus knew who he was in the eyes of the Father. Gideon, he didn't. This wasn't the only question that Gideon struggled with. Gideon also struggled with some other things. Back to Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 16, we see the angel of the Lord coming and sitting under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, now this is how God viewed Gideon, "The Lord is with you." That's really all Gideon needed to know. If the angel just stopped right there, that should be enough. "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us?" If the Lord is really here, if the Lord really cares about us, then why am I here beating out this wheat in a wine press? Why am I doing this just trying to save a little bit from the Midianites coming in and stealing everything? If the Lord is here, if the Lord cares, then why am I in this situation? And by the way, where are all the miracles? Our fathers told us about all these things, all these great and wondrous things that happened back in Egypt where the people knew God was there. He knew he was on their side. Where is all that? Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But all I see is you abandoning us. All I see is you giving us into the hand of the Midianites. That was a pretty strong rebuke from Gideon. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Don't you realize who you're talking to here? Don't you understand that I'm on your side? Don't you realize this is going to be possible, not because of you, but because of me?" Gideon responds back, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." Gideon bombards God with questions. "God, where have you been? Why has all this happened to us? Why is Midian just continually beating us down, bringing us so low? And by the way, God, where are all the miracles? Why have you just left us here all alone? Remember the condition of Israel? Remember how they were described at the beginning of this chapter? They were brought very low because of Midian, because of the oppression. It was a nation that was struggling. They were struggling to survive. Families were struggling to survive. And Gideon, he wanted to know why God had allowed all this to happen. Gideon failed to see that God's about to do something, and that he was going to do something through him of all people. Gideon didn't see any of that. All he saw was the problem. Now, we're good at pointing out problems. Do we ever see ourselves as part of the solution? Do we ever see within our own lives the ability to change some things? If not in the world, if not even in the country, at least in our own homes, in our own cities? Because we can point out problems, and we can list them out all day long, and we're good at that. It's what we get conditioned to do because of what we're surrounded by all the time. But what God saw in Gideon was a solution. Here's a way to solve this, Gideon. Gideon, I see your trouble. I see the trouble of Israel. I know what Midian's doing to you. Hey, I'm going to help. And you are the one I'm going to work through. And all Gideon could see were the problems. Gideon, he's perplexed. He isn't willing to place any responsibility on Israel for their condition. He just questions God. And he literally puts God to the test. He wants proof. God, if this is really you, if this is really from you, if this plan is from you, then I need you to prove some things to me. And so the proving begins. In Judges 6, we'll pick up in verse 19. Gideon went in and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour. He put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented them. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread. And fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." You would think after this took place that Gideon would be convinced. Even Gideon says to God, "God, I have seen the angel. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." You would think that encounter would change everything for Gideon. If he had any questions, if he had any doubts, if he had any concerns, surely now he would be convinced. But he wasn't. Gideon, you've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Are you ready to go? Nope. I need another test. God, I still need you to prove who you are. God, I need you to jump through some more hoops for me. So the testing continues. Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me." Now, if you're really going, God, if you're serious, if this is really your plan, if this is the best that you can come up with, that you're going to send me, the one from the weakest family, the weakest in my family, if that's your plan, if you're really going to do this as you have spoken, "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken." Prove it. God, prove it. If this is really your plan, and this is really going to work, if I'm really going to take Israel and go out and fight Midian, and I'm actually going to win, then prove it. Verse 38, "And it was so. When he arose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Are you convinced now, Gideon? As you're squeezing a bowl full of dew out of the fleece, are you convinced? After all, this is your test. This is what you came up with. This is what you're bringing to God. And now you're squeezing the fleece, just wringing out the water. So much water in that fleece, it is so wet, so full of water, that there is a bowl full. As that water runs through your fingers and drops down into that bowl, are you convinced? Well, not yet. I'm not quite ready to go. So there's another test. Gideon said to God, "Do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more." Gideon's already put God to the test on two occasions. God has already proved who he was. But Gideon was a human. And as humans, we struggle. We struggle with taking action. And as if Gideon is procrastinating the inevitable. First, he's trying to say, "I'm not prepared, I'm not equipped, I'm not able." And now he's trying to say, "God, I don't think you can do this." We're way past Gideon not having confidence in himself. Now we're to the point where Gideon, he didn't have trust in God. He didn't have confidence in him. So we have test one, God passes it. Test two, God passes it. But Gideon still isn't ready. And so he asks God for patience. Then he says, "Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground." God did so that night, for it was dry only on the fleece, and dew was on all the ground. What about now? Gideon, do you realize that God can do anything? Do you believe that God is who he says he is? Do you believe that when God tells you, "Gideon, I can deliver my people through you," do you believe it can happen? For us in our lives, we're often like Gideon. God has a plan for us. He has a mission for us to fulfill. But I feel sometimes we're like Gideon. We start out by looking at ourselves, and all we see is somebody who's inadequate. "God, I'm not adequate for this. I'm not up for this challenge. I'm not able to do the things you need me to do. I can't lead my family. I can't lead my ministry. I can't be the person you need me to be." And maybe we get past some of those hurdles, but then we start doubting God. "God, are you really there? Because I'm trying to do what you're asking me to do, and all I'm doing is struggling. I'm struggling trying to be the person I need to be. Why are you allowing this to happen?" And our attention turns from ourselves to God, and we say, "God, where are you? I'm trying my very best, and I'm not getting the results that I want." When all we need to do is trust God. There are some things in life that sounds so simple. They sound so easy. Just trust God. Just follow God wherever he wants you to go. And wherever he leads, just make sure you're right there with him. That sounds so easy. But it is so difficult. And that's what Gideon is struggling with. God has told Gideon, "I'm going to bring victory through you." But Gideon, he kept wanting proof. So what's the fleece in our lives? What are we throwing out there for God to pass? You know, people continually search for proof. In Matthew 12, 38 through 40, the scribes and the Pharisees, even during the time of Christ, they wanted proof. "Jesus, prove who you are. Prove that you're the Son of God. Prove that you're the Messiah." Even after all of the miracles he had done, after all of the teachings, everything that Jesus had performed to set himself apart, they still wanted more. Prove it. In Matthew chapter 28, the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Now, do you realize what has happened here in Matthew 28? Do you understand that Jesus has been crucified, that he was buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later he was alive again, he was resurrected? So this is Jesus alive again after being crucified on the cross. Now, if you were able to transport yourself back to Jerusalem at this time, you would have known, just like everybody else in this city, what had happened to Jesus. Everybody knew. Everybody knew that Jesus had been crucified. Everybody knew what the religious leaders did to him. This didn't happen in a cave somewhere. It wasn't hidden from the people. Everybody knew. And now here in Matthew chapter 28, this guy, the very same person who was nailed to that tree, the very same person whose body was laid in that tomb, now he's alive. And he is right here in front of you. Some worshipped him, which is what you would expect. Wouldn't that get your attention? If you were in Jerusalem here in the first century, and you had witnessed Jesus being crucified on the cross, and everybody's talking about it, and now he's alive. The final proof, you want proof? The final proof that he is the Son of God? You would think everybody would worship him. But some were doubtful. We elevate skepticism in our world almost to a level of intellectual height. Like people who are doubt, are full of doubts, are higher intelligently than others. And the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible doesn't elevate doubt to that level. In fact, you look here in Matthew 28, verse 17, you have skeptics. And if you have people who are skeptic, even after Jesus resurrected and was standing right in front of them, we'll always have skeptics. We'll always have people who doubt. The chief priests, the religious leaders, they were wanting proof back in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus tells them what's going to happen. He predicts what we see in Matthew 28. And he uses the illustration of Jonah to show that he's going to be dead for 3 days and then he's going to raise back alive again. And even after that, there were people who doubted. Skepticism isn't championed in the Bible. It's okay to have doubts. We struggle with doubts. We struggle with our own ability, doubting what we can do. Sometimes we have questions for God. But at some point in our lives, we need to move past the doubts. At some point, we need to trust God. At some point, we have to take action. There's one last question that Gideon faces. Gideon finally is ready to go. He's finally ready to do what God needs him to do. And this final question that we see in Gideon's life is a question that we should all be ready to ask. God, what do you need me to do? What should I do? I know you have a task for me. I know you have an assignment. How can I serve? And Gideon finally gets to that point. And Judges 7 tells the story of how God delivered Israel through this one man, through Gideon. In God, he begins to assemble his army. And he gives directions to Gideon to help him choose the right men. And the first cut involved fear. And they were able to reduce the number of fighting men significantly, all the way down to 10,000. 22,000 people bailed out because they were scared to death. 10,000 remained. But that was still too many, so there's another cut. And this next cut involved a test. And through this test, God limits the number of the army to 300 men. Now I want you to look at these two verses side by side. In Judges chapter 7, verse 8, we have God's army. God's army consisted of a reluctant leader, Gideon, The man who described himself as the weakest of the weak, he's the leader, and he's leading 300 men. Now, this is who he's going up against. He's going up against the army of the Midianites. And they are described in Judges 6, verse 5 with these words. They would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come in like locusts. That's how many there were. Both they and their camels were innumerable. It doesn't take a lot for us to see what these two armies look like side by side. We have an army that's innumerable going up against an army of 300 led by somebody who doesn't really want to lead. And what happens? Israel wins. Now, do you remember what God said to Gideon through the angel? I will deliver victory through you, through one man. God made the difference. God was the reason that Gideon was able to lead the Israelites over Midian. And that's always going to be the case. And that's what we need to add back into the equation of our lives. It's not about what we can do. It's not about how great we are. It's about how great our God is. Because God can use us in ways that we can't even imagine. When we look at Gideon, when we're first introduced to him, I promise you, he never envisioned himself being the one who would lead Israel over Midian. It was something he viewed as an impossibility. There is no way this is going to happen. It's all about these questions. Do you realize who you are in the eyes of God? Do you realize who God is? And are you ready to serve? At some point, hasn't God done enough to prove who He is? Hasn't Jesus proven to all of us that He is the Son of God, the answer to our sin problem, the only way for us to get back to heaven? I don't know about you, but I think it's time to step up and serve, because we serve an awesome God. And if you need to do that this morning, if you need to take that step, if you need to be baptized into Christ, to join the Lord's team, to be a part of His army, what an opportunity. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're like Gideon, struggling with who you are. If we can help you this morning in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.